Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. And I had just such a thrill. I had a great week this week, and I'll get into it a little bit. But Sammy and Belle and Hannah are in the house this morning, and so good to see you guys. Little Belle, I was trying to wake her up. I just had to go back there and say, "Wake up, Belle! Wake up, Uncle Dave's here!" But she stayed sleeping. Anyway, so it's her first church service. Awesome. And but it was such a thrill because Sam Little, who he and his lovely wife Hannah do the youth and young adults, and we were asked to speak, unbeknownst to each other, until we just found out maybe a month ago, we were both asked to speak at the same time in the same location at YWAM in two different rooms, two different schools going on. And I just thought, you know, I just really got this picture of, man, just YWAM, you know, YWAM and what God has done in partnership with Flame Tree. And then, you know, we had the prophetic word about how the leaves, and you can see this one kind of leaf that's come off and symbolic of being on fire and red, and just the leaves that we are, so to speak, you know, just being on fire and lighting fires and making impact as God leads us. And in that, in my session, my dad is awesome. He didn't come hear me. He went to go hear Sammy. I thought that was cool. And he gave me the report. You did real good, Sam. Did real good. Anyway, which we knew he would. But in our session, we talked about Holy Ghost. And I don't know how many responded to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think seven out of 14. And we just had a good time. Hey, Josh and Amanda. I don't remember six or whatever. But two or three or whatever started speaking tongues, and guys felt like Mickey Mouse hands, and, you know, symbolizing a gift of healing being activated in their life, and all sorts of stir, you know, all sorts of encounter in the moment, which I have no idea what I'm going to talk on because I have about 14 things going in my head, but I feel like I'm going to just slow down, take a breath, and unpackage this. I have this weird life that I've journeyed to this point. And starting at a young age, I encountered the Holy Spirit at age 6. In that encounter, all sorts of things activated in my life that I can't describe other than I know it's not me. It doesn't initiate from me. And we would call them gifts of the Holy Spirit. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. We see gifts in Romans 12. The Holy Spirit is God. I just want to put that out there in case you don't know that. The Holy Spirit is God. God is one, Deuteronomy 6:4. But our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That blows a lot of people's mind. It blows those that follow the tenet of Islam. It blows those that follow the tenet of Judaism. But, you know, it's awesome that God the Father sends Jesus as a Jewish man, okay? And he is rabbi, Rabboni, he's teacher of teachers, he's gone to rabbinical training, he's the Son of the living God, and he has this amazing plan that he's fulfilled of the Father, and part of that plan is that he would come, that he would live, that he would minister, that he would die, that he would raise again, he'd ever live more, but also that he'd go away so he could send Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, God's on the face of the earth today, but he doesn't look like the form Jesus took. He is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit. All right, now is the time for true worshipers to come, John 4:24. And we're living in this amazing day. I'm excited because, again, we had this amazing prophetic day yesterday. It was awesome. Neville Johnson was just off the flipping charts. And PETA McLeod came, and she was off the charts, and worship, and Jason worshiping, and it was just a real saturated in God day. But I'm excited because there's been this dry spell in my life, in the season that I'm in, where what I knew, how God interacted with me, changed. I don't know if you've ever experienced a change in the way God talks to you. And it can unnerve you. Because we get used to the format or the way God speaks to us, and when he changes the way or the format or the avenue or the medium he speaks to us, it really challenges us because we have to still live by faith, not in the way he's speaking, but that he's speaking. And the Holy Spirit, can I say, wants to activate people today and activate you in dreams, visions, encounters, hearing and seeing his voice, feeling his voice, which is called, in picture form, impressions. God wants to activate his body of believers into the lovely expression of communication that he offers all of us. And for some of us, you know, we might have had an encounter or a way God has been interactive with our life, and then there might have been a change, but then God also reactivates the way he was interacting with us before what we would call maybe a wilderness. How many kind of understand what I mean? Okay. So Monday, it has been about 6 or 7 months, and it's felt really dry. And Monday, something took place that really excited me. And my wife and daughter had gone to Hillsong. Yay, Hillsong. Hallelujah. My daughter's best friend got saved. Hallelujah. And she saw Bieber, whatever. So this far away. No, how far? Oh, closer. Wow. So Monday, I'm just excited. I'm excited during the day. I feel the presence of God very pronounced. And I just, have you ever kind of had this thing that, you know, God's about to do something? Have you ever had that in your life, you know? And so I go to sleep. Dad and I are chattering on, you know, I was sleeping, I thought, you know, I was sleeping, but all of a sudden I realized that my eyes are open and I can hear sound and I can hear like an excited voice and it says, I'm coming. And I look down, I'm sleeping, but I'm standing up watching myself sleep in bed. And so that lasted for a little bit, and, you know, whatever, how that ever equates into reality and in the supernatural, I don't know. But Tuesday, the girls left. They flew out again, Dad and I, you know, had boys' night. Yay. So, you know, we stood up and stayed up and had a good time and went to bed really late. And no, it wasn't blueberry wine. Relax. But again, what happens is I hear footsteps coming. I wake up, and I'm standing next to the bed again. I see myself, and here's the Lord. He says, I want to talk with you. Now, I don't see him, but I hear him. And so I stand next to my bed. I'm seeing myself sleep. I stand next to the bed, and the Lord begins to share with me the deep richness of who he is. The beauty of his presence. And last night I have this dream. I woke up before my wife, they retired from the trip or whatever, I'm in the kitchen, and Ange comes out, and I said, look, I had a dream, and I'm preaching on this dream this morning. The Lord said he'd preach on the dream. And in this dream, I didn't see myself sleeping in bed or anything, but I see this tree that's amazingly adorned with gold rings and silver and gems It's totally encrusted with precious stone. It's inlaid with gold. There's crowns hanging on branches. And it's just absolutely amazing. It's so close that I in the dream, this voice says, take some steps back. So I take some steps back. And as I do, I can see around the trunk that there are many trees. There's like heaps of trees, uncountable trees, that are all adorned in this precious stone and gem and what we would say is extremely valuable. And the Lord says to me, Isaiah 61. If you read Isaiah 61, it's an amazing passage of Scripture. It's exactly what Jesus quotes in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Isaiah 61 talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he talks about the good news of salvation. He's anointed me. We know verse 1 and 2. We know that that came to proclaim the liberty of the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. And when the Lord, you know, said Isaiah 61, I take a step, and the branch coming off of Isaiah 61, this whole branch, is Zechariah 9:13. I said, Zechariah 9:13. And so if you read Zechariah 9:13, it talks about the sons of Zion who are in captivity, but yet they have hope. The word hope is expectation. Can I say sometimes we feel like, you know, we're in a wilderness, that we're in a dry patch, that we're under captivity, which for a short time, you know, the enemy has the ability to do some stuff. But God's desire is, and he talks about the sons of Zion that are against the sons of Greece. That's Zechariah 9:13. And if you read that verse in verse 1, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, can I say that God wants us to see we are not bound by the world or worldliness, that we actually are called to be sons and daughters in Zion. There's this wonderful thing happening called the one new man being formed slowly. There's going to be a day where you see Jew and Gentile as one man worshiping God, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit being involved in their lives. It won't be Jew or Gentile, it will be believer. And so the thing is that, you know, I was so excited yesterday. Neville kind of touched on it about, you know, we come from heaven. We were birthed out of God's heart. And I say it this way. I've been saying it my whole life because God showed me this, that we are a spirit having a body experience. It's because when he created me in his heart, in his infinite wisdom, he decided that right now you and I would have our body experience together. But we're on this journey. We have to find Jesus who points us to the love of the Father, and we receive that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, empowered by the Holy Spirit who is God, for us to return to Zion as free men and women. I remember that Bob Marley song, man. Hey, I'm like iron. I am like iron for the lion of Zion. I am unmovable. I have strength. Zion. Zion is the place from which God's holy mountain exists, his throne in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And this natural play out, this natural working plan to divide Jerusalem will never succeed. Zion and Jerusalem are at the heart of God. It's the natural thing that stirs man to realize he's not God, that God is. You can't touch these places. The UN, United Nations, and all their officials, they're kidding themselves. Matter of fact, they're cutting their own throat to destruction if they think they're going to mess with these two locations. They aren't. And so we see, where'd my notes go? There's no notes. So it goes on and says, you know, which I love that the ministry was at Luke and about the foreigners that, you know, helped the Jewish people that we had last Sunday night, and they go and do the groves and the orchards, and they pick the grapes, and it's right there in verse 5, 61, Isaiah, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen, your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess double everlasting what? Joy. Hallelujah, shall be theirs. And we're talking about the people of Israel. But can I say that in God, Jew and Gentile that believe in Yeshua, hallelujah, they have the joy of the Lord as their strength. It's not talking just to Jew. It applies to Jew and Gentile who worship the living God, hallelujah, who are adorned with him. And it says this, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has what? Clothed me. But if you go back to verse 3, he's talking about consoling those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees. So I have this dream of these trees. Psalm 1:1 says that a righteous man is like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. It says that when Jesus heals the man of blindness, he sees men walking like trees first in Judges. You see that they elect a king. Who elects a king? The trees get together and elect a king. See, there's symbolism that God speaks to us. Can I say that if you saw yourself in the Spirit, you're an adorned, bejeweled tree that God is calling us to stand today to keep walking out the journey to Zion. The goal is him who reigns and rules out of Zion. Blessed is the man who sets his heart on pilgrimage, Psalm 84, verse 5. And it goes on. What's it talking about? It says that we would all stand before him, that we would stand before him in Zion. There's this old song, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Verse 10, he has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown on it, in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Psalm 132. Talking about priests. He calls them priests. Can I say he calls us priests and kings? Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. He's looking for a nation, a kingdom of priests and kings. And so you see Psalm 132, verse 9 and 16. Verse 9, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. The beauty of the Lord clothes your life. Hallelujah. You're very good looking in the spirit. You're very attractive. Because we're adorned with Him. Hallelujah. We're adorned with the beauty of the Lord. And it says, and let your saints shout for joy. Verse 16, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There's great joy going to be released again. We think we've had a wave of joy, what they call a laughing revival. And some of us might not be laughing, but I can tell you we're going to have joy in our heart to endure what lays ahead. You might do it with a big, broad smile, but you also might get the hee-hees and the ha-has. I don't know. It might happen. I pray it does. It's a lot better than the sound of complaint. That one hurt, didn't it? Hey? Remember, we're still on a negativity fast. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 is this amazing, here, can I just say this? Let's just break this down with a prophetic. The Bible is so amazing because the Bible proves that prophecy is real. The Bible is amazing because you got God talking about things that won't happen until 7,000 years down the road. How can He do that? Because God stands above time. So can I tell you that if it's in Scripture, and we've seen so much fulfillment of Scripture through the ages, Israel alone proves God is God, because He made a nation become a nation that was not a nation, that was not, now it is, in one day. And He prophesied it to happen before they didn't become a nation. He's talking about the millennial reign before Jesus' birth through Mary. The amazing thing about prophecy is it gives us the insight to the heart and the mind of God that we can't see. I don't know why I've been freaking out in my life at times, but I have. I think I forgot that I'm not the one supposed to make it happen. And that's why He's given us Holy Spirit to walk empowered by that which we can't power. The Holy Spirit, God Himself coming, and He did in the book of Acts, was totally prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. I mean, you talk about a people, you know, that would have the Holy Spirit not only on them, but in them. Let me read you a couple names. These are all Old Testament people that were filled with the Holy Spirit before Acts chapter 2 happened. What does that mean? Holy Spirit was around. He is God. Genesis 1, you know, it's there. The Spirit of God's hovering over the waters. Genesis, when they make man, it said, let us make man in our plural image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so you read Scripture yourself, but His manifest presence filling people, a guy named Bezalel, he's one of the guys that was a craftsman. It says the Spirit of God was in him, Exodus 31:3. How about David designing the temple? 1 Chronicles 28:10-12 says that the Holy Spirit was in him. Genesis 41:38, Joseph had the Holy Spirit in him. Moses and the 70 elders, Number 11:17. Joshua, Number 27:18. Saul got around the prophets, and the Spirit of God comes on him. He starts to prophesy. How, you know, has Saul joined the prophets? 1 Samuel 10. Othniel, Judges 6:34. Someone said, Othniel, I never heard. Well, look it up, man. I didn't make it up. Judges 6. Isaiah 48. Ezekiel, Ezekiel 2, Daniel, Daniel 4, Daniel 5, Azariah, 2 Chronicles 15, 1, Jehaziel, 2 Chronicles 20, and Zechariah, 2 Chronicles 24. His intention is that the Holy Spirit be God upon us and in us and through us. There's nothing attractive of and in ourselves except God. He's adorned us with this beauty that only can come from Him. And you see this in Hebrews chapter 12. And let me read, this is what we look like in the end days. And we have entered the last of days. We're in it. And so you look at Hebrews chapter 12, 18, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned fire into blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the word, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, then it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is what's going on. God's fire is burning out of our life what we don't need. And I'm going to tell you something. He's turned up the heat. Fire of God also strengthens or fortifies what is of God. And some of us are in this journey and you are recognizing that the heat is turned up in life. What I was allowed to do yesterday, God's saying, no, 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 no. Not anymore. And there's this strengthening. There's this support from the Lord. He's calling us priests. Priests serve the Lord. They're dedicated. They serve Him whether they feel like it or not. And God's looking for a kingdom of priests. He's looking for us that would truly be adorned with His salvation. Hallelujah. Having been saved from our sin and having a smile on our dial doing it. The joy of the Lord. The joy of our salvation. Restoring us back to that first love, that joy moment when we encountered the God that we could not get to on our own. Hallelujah. He drew us. He beckoned us. And so we, if you could see in the Spirit, we're like these adorned trees sparkling and shining in His glory, in the wonderment of Him. I read Isaiah 33:6 last week. It talks about the fear of the Lord is the treasure. Can I say God is still handing out shovels? But the treasure, what He showed me this week is that the treasure is Him. The things of God are adorning our life if we say yes. He wants us to have more and more, can I say, glory upon our life. You can substitute that word glory for presence or anointing. He is the one that's so attractive to those that are in desperate need of love and grace and mercy. And he uses our life. He uses us like ambassadors. He uses us like priests. He uses us like kings, can I say, speaking the declared prophetic word of the Lord, you shall live and not die, and you shall declare the works of your God all the days of your life over your family and your kids and your grandkids and the store owners next to you, over the schools that we pass by. He's asked us, he's commanded us. An amazing thing is that he's conforming us daily, if we let him, into his image. That's our part, is to be yielded, to be surrendered, to be dedicated, to be those that would say, yeah, you can cut off that branch and put a gold ring on that. That thing's dead anyway. That thing's not going to produce any fruit, so cut that limb off of my life. Take the sword of the Spirit to it. It's called the Word. Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the whole book, is about his sword. The sword of the Lord. The double-edged sword, like I talked on yesterday. The double-edged sword. One edge for my life to cut away what I don't need, and one edge for the enemies of God that come against my life if they dare. The Word of God, hallelujah, penetrating and being able to divide soul and spirit. And what's going on is a shaking, or can I say this, a division is happening in our midst. I don't mean a church split. I mean God's taking his word to our life, and he's cutting away flesh that will lead us away from God. The soulish things and decisions that are contrary to the will of God, he wants to cut out of our life. Here's my encouragement. Embrace the blade of God. Embrace the blade of God, because it surely will bring life. You know, you prune a tree back, you look like you killed it, but that next year, it has more fruit than you can contain. You have to give it away to everybody you know. And there's a pruning happening, but there's a pruning so that we yield amazing fruit of righteousness and justice. His justice, his righteousness. Isaiah 33. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Everybody, his righteousness, his justice, his wisdom and understanding. Can I say it's only found in him? It's only found in him. And God wants to cut away evil out of our life. He wants to cut sin and wickedness out of our life. You read what the definition of how we find that strength and salvation through wisdom and knowledge. You read Job 28:28. It defines what he does for us to grow in wisdom and knowledge. And when he deals with our life, we become so attractive for his glory. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that today is the day of salvation, that you are the God who leads us into victory and triumph. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of splendor, that you're causing a body of priests and kings to understand who they are in you and who you are, high and lifted up, that you dwell, that you fill Zion itself. Lord God, that you had a plan and purpose to send us to be born for such a time as this, that you gave us God himself, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to finish the race, to accomplish the journey with joy. We praise you and thank you that more and more we'll do this life with laughter, because we know who you are. We know that you have the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end all sorted out, and that if I stay in you, I cannot be defeated. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a great week. Come tonight. Hear Grant Gerke. He's an amazing guy. He's a personal friend. He lives what he preaches. He moves in the Holy Ghost. You won't want to miss Grant tonight. God bless you. Enjoy your lunch or whatever you're going to do. Have a great week.